Well, I'm looking for the book of John, first chapter. And then I'm going to read from Genesis, the first chapter. Father, we thank you tonight for your faithfulness. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's evident and prevailing in this gathering tonight. We have gathered here in the name of the Lord, and you are in our midst, and we offer praise to you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for being good to us, making provision for us, and watching over our lives. Now, Lord, as your servant, I ask for the anointing to rest upon the reading and the ministry of the word, the quickening of your presence and of your spirit, Lord, to unveil hidden truths to our hearts and lives, for we are the ones upon whom the end of the age has come, and we have lots of responsibility. So bless your word to your people, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 4, in Him the Word was light, and that Word was the light of men. And in Psalms 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. And that word light there means understanding. And God has made provision for all of us to help ourselves to whatever we have need of from His bountiful provisions. The entrance of His Word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. That included me. So we have the Word to give us direction, to give us guidance. Wisdom in God to perceive and comprehend what God was saying, what He meant, and what He is saying. Sometimes we think God's quit talking, but He isn't. I know a few years ago somebody asked Oral Roberts long about New Year's, said, what is God saying to you for this next year? He said, God's not talking to me. And I thought that was kind of strange, but I understood it more clearly as I marched on. There's times it's clear and it's easy to hear what God is saying and what He wants. And then there's other times we just have to look at the Word and search our own heart and then go forward to the best that we know how. The eternal Word of God will constantly guide us and direct us and help and assist us in all our ways. This Word is so vitally important to believers today. It gives us an intimate relationship with Christ and with the Father. And you know, when we get to thinking about a Christian life and serving the Lord, it's all wrapped up in the business of relationship. We hear lots of words and lots of people talking about relationships, and that's what Christian life is. It is a relationship with Jesus, a living relationship. It's not something that we got when we got saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but it's something that is good for us today, and we have a relationship with Him today that is vital. And He helps us in all of our doings. I was thinking when we were singing Amazing Grace, through many toils and dangers, snares, we've already come. 'Tis grace that's brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us on. And so without His grace, we're not worth much anyhow. And but with His grace, we have fellowship. The Father can reveal unto us His eternal will overall and His specific and special will for us individually. The Scripture says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. There's another scripture that says if we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He not only will direct our paths, but He'll overshadow us with His presence. I may not be quoting it exactly, but that's the essence of what it means. And the Father to reveal His eternal will and special will for us, this church, as well as we individuals in the church today. Also, the Word is the greatest source of faith available to man today. We think, well, if we could get Brother so-and-so to pray for us, he's got lots of faith, and we'll fall when he prays, and we'll get up, and we'll be just fixed up with faith. I've seen folks fall dozens of times and get up and go off, and they're just exactly the way they was before they fell. I've seen that happen. I had a man that was Presbyterian all of his life until just the last few years of his life, and they got exposed to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he and his wife, they spake in tongues, and they were happy, and they started having a prayer meeting in their home and Bible study in their home, and he was praying for folks, and folks was falling, and folks was falling, and he said, I was just sitting there one night looking, and you know, said, I saw, that's about 6 or 8 times that woman we prayed for her. And that man, I know we prayed for him 6 times. And they fall every time. And directly they'll get up, and they're just like they was before they fell. Says, now there's more to this than just falling. And it is a relationship. What do we build upon? We build upon a relationship. A relationship of family. It's a give and take proposition. You give about 60 and then take about 30 and then you get what's left. It's a give and take proposition. And if we keep a family together, we have to learn to give and to take. And it's easier sometimes to give and to give over than it is to have a fuss. I know some folks, if they're anointed to fuss, they like to fuss. And if nothing else, they'll pick on the preacher. And I like them kind of folks because they're going to make it in spite of themselves if they keep hold of the Lord. There's a lot of things could be said, pro and con. But the scripture says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word hearing there is interchangeable with the word understanding. So faith comes by understanding, and understanding comes by the word of God. Yes. And it is important. I remember my grandmother was gifted to read the Bible. She couldn't read anything else, but she read the Bible through for over 40 years. Twice a year, and you couldn't twist her up on any scripture, any portion of scriptural doctrine. She wouldn't belong to any church. She said, I don't. She went to the Pentecostal church where she lived, but she said, the church that I belong to, I was born into it when I got saved. And said, I believe before Jesus comes back, says all these denominational walls will just crumble and fall. And I asked her one time, she read the book out loud. She'd get it and she'd just read it out loud with such punctuation and such life. I asked her one day, I said, Granny, what do you always read out loud for? And she, why, son, don't you know? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And if you don't read it out loud, how are you going to hear it? She was quite proficient with the scriptures, and she wasn't dumb either. I couldn't lie to her, no way under heaven. She had blue eyes that cut like a cutting torch, just right through. Faith comes by the word of God. Jesus said in John 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. And that's his promise to us. And sometimes we wonder, is this really written for me? Yeah, the whole of the book is written for thee and me. It's written for us. Does this mean that I can call upon Him at any time and that He will hear us? Every time He'll hear you. Every time you pray, He'll hear. If you pray with faith, you'll get an answer of some sort. It may be no. It may be not yet. It may not be instantly, but you'll get an answer from God. You'll get peace in your heart. He's the giver of peace. And when we ask Him, He'll answer us. Yes, all His promises are to you and for you. Yours personally for your own special benefit. Not selfish benefit, but special benefit. God wants us to have His blessings on our lives at all time. The promise is yours. There's no question as to who the promise is to. It's given and to and belongs to every believer. Every believer. The Word's given and promises of the Word is given to us as believers, to we as believers. And it says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through them and by them we may become partakers of His divine nature. That means when temper rises up, that we just put a cold cloth on it and keep it down. It's saturated with the love of God. And that don't mean we won't spark every once in a while. But someone that constantly is losing their temper and giving others a piece of their mind, they end up with Alzheimer's. They've already given their mind away by piece at a time. The promises are to us and for us. Jesus said in John 16:24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. That means up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name, but now I want you to ask what you will, that you might have, that your joy might be full and overflowing. Nothing in my name up to now, but ask, and ye shall receive. See, a positive promise when you ask, you shall receive. Well, sometimes folks receive and then they doubt. I remember when I was first just barely saved, I heard the story, wasn't there, but I heard the story of a lady in Broken Arrow that was visiting her sister, and she'd been wearing stone deaf. She'd been wearing a hearing aid for several years, and she went to this tent revival, and I think it was Mildred Wick. She was quite popular back in the late 40s and early 50s. She had this tent revival, and this lady walked up, and she said, what do you need? She says, I'm deaf. I can't hear. She said, take the hearing aid out. She took it out. Said, put it in your purse. She put it in her purse. And she prayed for her and then backed off like you see preachers do, and she was hearing and listening to sounds that she hadn't heard in years. And when she got in the car, they was having conversation. And you know what she said? She said, wouldn't it be wonderful if this was really true, that I could hear? And they would talk right back to her. Why, Aunt so-and-so, you are hearing. You're carrying on a conversation. Where's your hearing aid? Well, it's in my purse. But wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord had healed me, if this healing was really true? Now, if we do that as sinners, if we pray and ask God to forgive us and then get the burden of guilt rolled away and we feel good on the inside, if we said, boy, wouldn't it be great if this was true? We'd be just like she was. The next morning, she got up stone deaf and put her hearing aid back in, because she would not believe the miracle that had already taken place in her life. We're called to be believers and not doubters. Not unbelievers, but believers. And He said, you've not asked anything in my name up to this point, but ask and ye shall receive. Why? That your joy might be full or overflowing. God wants us to be a happy bunch. I believe it. I would never have lasted if I'd had to gone around mule-faced and never smiling, never laughing, been sober, and then been pious. However you do that, I don't know, never did learn. But he turned over on the inside of me joy the night he forgave me of my sins. And I never had to lose my sense of humor. I never had to try to be more holy than I was. It's by his grace that we get what we get anyhow. And we just wells to enjoy. I see some folks that are so miserable trying to serve the Lord. They're just miserable. And it's because they're not trusting in his word, or they don't believe his word, or they feel like God has been unfair to them. He done so and so for such and such, but he didn't do this for me. Well, you know, God is still the boss. He's still the boss. And he knows what goes on in your heart and in mine, and he sees my shortcomings. He sees your shortcomings. And if we get anything from him, it's by grace. It's by his mercy. It's not because we deserve us according to what we deserve, but he gives to us out of the bounty of his love and his grace and his mercy. When we have need, we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in the time of need. Now, that doesn't mean we back up to the altar and say, Lord, if it's all right, I won't even face the altar. I just wondered if you could. Well, I know that I don't deserve this. And well, Lord, I thank you that you're kind to me. And that's about the way they pray. They just kind of mealy mouth around, and the Lord himself, I wonder if he wonders what they need sometimes. But he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. I walked up boldly to Brother Wampler this morning and shook his hand. And shook his hand again tonight. I didn't look down and look sideways and stutter. I looked him in the eye. God wants us to look right straight up to him and ask him for what we need with a boldness. That word boldness means assurance and confidence. I could go to my daddy and ask him anything that I wanted to ask him, and if it was in reason and he had the ability to grant me that request, I didn't have to ask him twice. Go get it. It's in the shop. If I needed money, which wasn't very often, I mean, I needed money all the time, so I did. I could go to his house and eat. But, you know, our Heavenly Father is much more concerned with us than our earthly fathers. And if Daddy provided for me, and he did, how much more will our Heavenly Father provide our needs? He'll do it. He'll do it. But we need to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in the time of need. John 16:24 gives us the right and the boldness to approach God and the confidence for help. When we need to come to the Lord, we can boldly confess what the Word says. My God, we come to him with a need. In Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply a portion of your needs so you can go away hungry but almost full. There's a word in there that I left out. All your need. He's promised to supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you think God's broke? Somebody says, I don't believe in that prosperity message. Well, you don't believe what the book says. It says he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage.
Yes.
He brought them forth with silver and with gold, and there was not a feeble one among their tribes. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. A good man lays up a heritage for his grandchildren, the book says in Proverbs. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Well, where is your right? How do you get righteous? Christ is our righteousness. It is in Him we live and move and have our being. And it is in Christ that God shifts the balance of finance into the hands of those that are totally dependent upon Him for righteousness. Not for us to pile up. Enough for us to not have to beg our lives. Enough for us to bless the kingdom of God. To do something for God's work in God's kingdom. And these promises are ours if we will acknowledge them. And these are good things. You know, there's no better way to pray that I've found than to pray the Word. You pray the Word right back to God.
Exactly.
Tell God what He promised and tell Him, you know you're not worthy, but you're not coming because you're worthy. You're coming because you said it. And this is what you said. And quote it back to Him. And I tell you, that kind of prayer will lift you, and those that are around you will be lifted. Because what you're doing, you're quoting God's Word, His eternal Word that is forever settled in heaven, sealed by the blood of Jesus, and established forever. We don't have to be cowed down. Oh, it's all right to be humble, but there's a difference between being humble and being dumb. You agree?
I agree.
When we feel we are sick, we can just give vent to our feelings. Or we can come boldly to the throne of grace and confess, with His stripes I am healed, and healing can come. Somebody says, well, it didn't work for you. Yes, it did. It's worked for me numbers of times. I had one of Job's comforters, a good friend of mine, before I ever started in ministry. A flu epidemic was in the little community of Broken Arrow then, and Dolores and I was just going from house to house, friends of the church, and it was down. She'd make chicken noodle soup or other kinds of food, and we'd distribute it to different ones. One of my friends called me and said, you caught the flu yet? I said, no, I'm resisting it. But I was exposed enough to it till it, boy, it caught me in the middle of the night. I woke up and I was hurting all over, worse than any place. And I didn't get healed from that so quickly. But I know one time I had a sinus infection, a headache, couldn't hardly talk. And I knelt down at a chair and I said, devil, I want you to come here. And I read from Luke's gospel where it says, God has given me power and authority over all the power of the devil. I said, devil, you hear this? I said, I know I have symptoms. But I said, you're a liar, and your symptoms are lying vanities. And I went on to bed, still couldn't hardly talk, got up the next morning, and I was worse. But the first thing I said, Lord, I praise you for your word. I said, devil, you're still lying, but you're defeated.
Right.
Well, I went on and got better that day. Along about 1 o'clock, I went by the barber shop and I got to sneezing. Devil said, see, you ain't over this. And I sneezed and I sneezed. And every time I sneezed, I'd say, devil, you're a liar. I didn't say it out loud enough for folks in the barbershop to hear me, but I was telling him every time he did that to me, I told him he was a liar. Went to bed that night and slept like a baby. Got up the next morning and I had sinus drainage running from me almost constantly. That took care of that need. See, I don't know why I caught the flu. I guess because I was running too slow. and it overtook me. But, you know, you always hear folks say, I'm catching a cold. Slow down. Slow down. Let it go on ahead. And these things work sometimes, and sometimes our faith is weak. God is the same. He's always the same. Sometimes these things work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes we need a doctor's hand to take care of some things, like Brother Wampler has had, like I had about 18 months ago. We need God's help. We need the help of the doctor. I even prayed for the doctor's hands. I told him, I want to pray for your hands. He said, can I do anything else for you now? I said, I'm going in and scrub. And I said, yes, there's something I want to do. I believe in what I preach, and I want to pray for your hands before you ever touch me. I said, I know you're skilled. You're highly recommended. He just stuck his hands out like that, and I just had a good Holy Ghost prayer. He went on in. 7.5 hours later, I come out. And 3 days later, he comes sit down on my bed, said, boy, said, Reverend, I want to tell you, it's good to have patience with faith like you. And a couple of visits later, he said, am I still in your prayers? I said, you sure are. And a couple of visits back, I said, I haven't prayed for your hands in a long time. And he never even stuttered. He just stuck them out. And I had another good prayer for his hands. You know, we need to be bold sometimes. We need to boldly confess what we believe. Faith in God's Word is faith in God Himself. If you do not believe the book, you don't believe in God, because this is where God is revealed to us through the book, through the Word, by the Holy Spirit. When He unveils that to us, then we're accountable to God. And our attitude, unbelief in God's Word, really is unbelief in God Himself and in God's integrity. And who can bring a charge against God lawfully and correctly? He's the one that gives us what we have need of. Our attitude toward God's Word settles things. Meet Satan with the Word of God and tell him it is written. That's how Jesus did it. He said, it is written. And when we do this in faith, sickness must leave, pains and symptoms must leave, and healing comes in. Somebody said, well, it didn't work for your wife. No, it was her time to go. I remember as distinctly as the day, as I am standing here tonight, I remember the evening that I read the scriptures to her. At her request, I read scriptures from Amplified New Testament. And when I finished the first chapter, I read another one. And I was so anointed to read that it even blessed me to hear myself reading. And when I finished, I laid hands on her and prayed for her. And I knew, as well as I know that God is, He had heard my prayer. And she said, nevertheless, Lord, not our will, but you done. Somebody said, well, what's the score? Well, she lived her days and it was her time to go. Because let me tell you, if we had that authority totally resident within us, I would have never let my grandma die. She'd be about 120 now, or 30. I wouldn't have let my father die. He'd have been well over 100. My mother had been well over 100. I wouldn't have let her die. Now tell me, you wouldn't be the same way. You would. See, God hadn't moved off of His throne for us to take these scriptures and move Him off His throne. These are guidelines for us. But He always has the final say. He is the boss. And my attitude toward God is the same as it was this time last year. I still believe God heals. I know God heals. And there are various ways he does it, but I know God heals. And symptoms may come and symptoms may go. And I may die before I get home tonight or before I see you again. But you just remember that he still heals. God still heals. He has paid the price for the healing of mankind. Yet, there is the balance. God said that there was appointed days for us. And I think that when our count comes up on the calendar, I believe that's our time to go. And I don't believe that there can be extensions, but it's unusual. Hezekiah prayed, God give him 15 more years. But while during that 15 years, he became the father of the most wicked king that ever sat on the throne of Israel. God was trying to protect him from that kind of scar tissue and damage done to his lineage. But he prevailed in prayer. And sometimes we can prevail in prayer and it not be the best for us. So we have to always approach God with the knowledge that I always approached my daddy. He was the boss. I didn't always understand what he was doing. But he was my father. And I knew that he loved me. And I knew that he had my best interest in heart. And so when we approach God, we know he's got our best interest in heart, at his heart, or he would not have sent Jesus to die for our sins. He's got us in mind. We're the very height of God's creation. Remember, when you think of the devil, think of him only as a defeated foe. He will obey every word of man when spoken by faith in the Son of God. When we have faith, we can back the devil down and back him off. Jesus did, and he gave that authority to us. This can never be stressed too much, that Satan is a defeated foe. The devil is a liar, the father of lies. And if he can lie to you and tell you God didn't mean exactly what he said, what you're quoting, what you're reading, God really didn't mean it that way, he is a master reasoner. He reasoned from the Garden of Eden till now and has lied to lots of people and caused lots of people to miss God's best. It is up to us to confess what God says. Yes. Confess his word. It's not up to us to prove what he says. It's not up to us to back up his word. It's up to us to proclaim his word, to confess his word, acknowledge his word. In one place, Luke 4:42, it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." That word power is the same word power that you was promised to receive when you received the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be endued with power. This word power that Jesus spoke the word with is the same word power that we have when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Psalms 107:20 says, "He sent his word and healed them." God's word on the inside of us brings healing. It will bring healing from various afflictions, various diseases. God's word is impregnated with God life and God health. And if we can make ourselves and obey that word to confess not what we feel, but what he says. And it's important. Somebody says, "Well, this is a strange doctrine." Well, it's not too strange. I've heard it for 50 years. It still sounds good to me. You may not like it, but it's God's Word. Always confess God's Word. What God will do for one, He will do for everyone who will believe His Word. When we acknowledge and confess our sickness, our confessions keep us sick. There's a young lady in her middle late 40s. She is seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And I saw the list of the things that was bothering her. Her mother died. Her this happened. Her children done this and this and this and this. She had a list all about long on a piece of paper. And there was not one positive thing on there. There was not one scripture on there. And I just kind of told her, I said, if you want to think of on that list, I said, you'll be dead in 6 months. I said, you need to remember the word that's been sown in your heart from a child up. Get your Bible. You haven't even read your Bible in a month. I doubt it. I said, go get your Bible and read it and quit reading these goofy books. Quit listening to what this doctor's telling you. I said, quit going to him and wasting your insurance money. I said, get in the book. I said, there's healing in the Word of God. There's strength in the Word of God. There's power in His Word. He sent His Word and healed them. I'm going to hold fast to my confession till I die, and then I'll confess it throughout eternity. Because it's truth. Truth never changes. Time doesn't change truth. Circumstances doesn't change truth. God doesn't change. The book says, I am the Lord, and I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. The eternal Word of God is what we have to live by. Always confessing the Word of God, even when our feelings are contrary. Our symptoms don't reveal the same. Speak the Word of God over your symptoms. So you practice that? I try. I do quite a bit. Every time, I wouldn't say I do it every time, but I oughta. It'll work. I've seen it work. Hold fast, the scripture says, to your confession of faith. When the testimony of your five senses contradicts the Word of God, this causes you to do one of two things. Confess your symptoms, or confess the Word of God. And if you will mature to the point that in your faith to where you can confess the Word of God, there will be a supernatural transformation take place in you. See, now you get up in the morning and you've got a symptom. And you talk to somebody. I see Brother Wampler. Well, I'm not feeling too good today. I've got so-and-so. I'm kind of depressed today. I don't feel too good. I know a fella. I didn't know him. I knew of the incident that Braden Winch in Broken Arrow. There was a guy there that was subject to what others said to him. And some four or five of these guys would make it up and one would go by and look at him real straight and said, are you sick? He said, no, I don't think so. Why? Well, you just look like you didn't feel good. Just go on. Just drop the thought. Another guy said, man, you look sick. He said, I do. Yeah. Are you feeling all right? I was. Next guy come along. Man, I don't see how you're standing it. You look sick. You know, I don't feel too good. Nothing come by. You want me to take you home at noon? You look sick. No, I'll drive myself. I don't feel too good. I'm on your clock. Well, send him home and miss a half a day's work. The ornery dogs ought to have been whipped. Knowing his weakness. And that's the way the devil does people. He knows our weakness, and he'll come by with a suggestion. Just pass you and say, hey, well, you don't look like you feel too good today. I'm all right. You know, I believe my head is hurting. I had the devil tell me I had an uncle that died with a brain tumor. And just a few months after I saved, maybe a year, I got a headache right here in the side of my head, right there. Devil says, you got a brain tumor. And I said, why? I don't have a brain tumor. I just got a headache. No, you got a brain tumor. Your Uncle Shorty died with a brain tumor, and that's what's going to get you. And suddenly it dawned on me. I said, you lying devil, I'll live longer than you will in the sense of joy and happiness and health. I said, I've got a little headache, but it'll be gone by the time I get through talking with you. And I don't have a brain tumor, and I will never have a brain tumor. Do you hear that, devil? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I was just a kid. I mean, just started. Been saved maybe a year, maybe not that long. But I want you to know it worked. That brain tumor left immediately. That suggestion of pain left immediately. And this stuff works now. We have to put her in there, but it'll work. Hold fast to your confession of faith. And when your testimony of the five senses, what you feel, smell, touch, and so forth, is contrary or contradicts the Word of God, then you just confess the Word of God. When we confess that, by His stripes, I am healed, this binds Satan in a position to where we have to really believe that. We can't just say it without our heart in it, for it's with the heart man believes. And then with the mouth, confession is made. If you really believe by His stripes you are healed, then that must become your confession. And you're speaking it with conviction. By His stripes, I am healed. Works. Faith works in the supernatural. And when we confess that by His stripes I am healed, this binds Satan's hands. He knows it and knows that you know it also. God's Word has always given to us the victory. Thanks be to God who always giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the greatest weapon that we can use against Satan today? The one that Jesus used in the wilderness. The weapon of the Word of God. It is written. That's why it is so important that we saturate our brain cells and memory bank with the Word of God to read it. I remember Daddy was 92 years old and he was reading the Word with a big old magnifying glass that had two flashlight batteries and a bulb in it. And he was poring over that Word. I said, Daddy, what are you reading? And I said, that's hard on your eyes to read that way. He said, I don't care. And I said, well, what are you doing that for? He said, I need it. I said, well, you know everything that's written in there. He said, I know it, but this is food for my soul, and I'm going to read it as long as my eyes will let me. Yeah. And he did. And when he was a-dying, he put off 24 hours. He was just about gone. And my wife said, honey, quote to him the 23rd Psalm. And I started out, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I choked up. Couldn't do it. I said, you go ahead and quote it to him. I can't. And he just kind of come out of it. Jaw kind of sideways, and he said, read the 26th Psalm. So she got the 26th Psalm, and it says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissimulars or those that sow discord. I have hated the congregation of the evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. There's a lot of folks don't even like the house of God. We must fall in love with the habitation of God's house. There's where he dwells. I know he lives in us, but there's places that sanctified and set apart and dedicated solely for the purpose of the worship of the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a holy hush and a holy covering that stays over those places, those buildings. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and in their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. He blessed the Lord that night, and the next night he went on to be with the Lord. I give him a drink of water, and he thanked me for the drink of water. By the time I got the cup set down and back around by his side, his eyes was fixed, and he was in the process of transition. He praised God to the small congregation that was around him the night before. That's